Well, Valentine's Day could be a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, I guess there are some negatives associated with it. And, boy, people still looking for love, and you feel like that's probably under the microscope a little bit more this time of the year. And we have learned recently that online romance scams really seem to spike a bit this time of the year. And here to shed some more light on that, we've got Erica Dilworth with us on the line right now from Cleveland's Better Business Bureau. Erica, thank you so much for spending some time with us. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, as we were just mentioning, you know, it seems like these online romance scams have really kind of come to the forefront in recent years, and they've really caused some serious consequences. If we're to put a dollar amount on how much money has been lost over the course of the last few years, what kind of ballpark are we talking about here?
You know, the FTC is reporting that nearly $1 billion in the last 3 years has been lost due to these types of scams. It is a little bit tricky, though, because these are incredibly underreported. They believe that only 10% of those that have been victimized in this type of scam actually report because they're embarrassed. So it's hard to put an exact dollar amount, but they do estimate $1 billion.
Wow. Well, I guess that makes sense, too, because there's a little bit of humility involved here as well coming forward, and I get that aspect of it. But I was really kind of blown away reading some of the information that you sent earlier. There's also a connection with the United States military. Why does it seem like that group in particular seems to be the target?
I think they're, you know, some of them are, they believe that they're easy targets because some of them are lonely, or they believe to be lonely or alone. And sometimes even these scammers may present themselves as, you know, the victim's actually spouse, and, you know, they don't know otherwise. So it's incredibly challenging. You know, these scammers are bright. They know what they're doing. They know how to get what they want, and they can pose as who they think that, you know, who they need to pose as to get, to perpetrate the fraud.
What are the demographics on some of the victims? I know it's, for the most part, pretty widespread. I mean, it seems like those that go out there and are looked at as the attackers in this, they go after just about everybody. But what are the demographics of some of these victims?
You know, I actually was looking at that, and they do say that, you know, 70%, nearly 70% are females who are the victims. And they also say that, you know, more than 50% are women over 50. So, you know, it's those that maybe have recently lost a love, but it is women looking for love that seem to be the target.
And it seems like this time of the year, it certainly spikes for all the obvious reasons, no question about that. We're talking with Erica Dilworth with Cleveland's Better Business Bureau about the recent spike in online romance scams, and there was something detailed called the grooming stage. What exactly is the grooming stage of this whole process?
Well, it's when the person gets to know the person that they plan to scam. You know, they first they find out about you on social media. So, you know, obviously you can on Facebook and all the different places on social media, that's who they decide who they're going to victimize. And then they make contact with you. So during the grooming process, they may have made contact you, whether it's through Facebook or some other source, and the communication starts, whether it's by texting. Usually it's texting or email because you can remain fairly anonymous, texting or email, and they can say that they're anybody through a text and email. It doesn't often happen that it moves to the phone call, and certainly would rarely happen that it would move to face-to-face. It generally stays with texting and email, and that's how the communication goes back and forth.
Erica, as you mentioned, I mean, for the most part, it stays online. You don't get that face-to-face meeting. So I guess, what are some of the cues people need to look for if they feel like something like this is starting to happen to them?
Well, I think that's the biggest clue.
Yeah.
If they're unwilling to meet you, if it is stays in texting and email, and there isn't a face-to-face communication, that should be a red flag. If there are always excuses as to why we can't meet, that should certainly be a red flag. And as soon as there's any ask for money, once they groom you and they get to know you and they feel comfortable that, that there's some spark, then the money ask comes. And it's usually my car has broken down, or I'm on a business trip and I'm stranded. And it's an emergency situation. And because you have an established relationship with this person, they feel comfortable to ask you. And that's when it starts.
You mentioned the grooming stage, Erica. How long does that usually take? I mean, are we talking about a month or a week, a couple of days?
Well, I think it depends on the victim. I think there are times when it can happen fairly quickly. I think the scammer knows how, when they believe that that person is comfortable enough. So I don't know that there's necessarily a customary period. You know, sometimes a scammer can even send flowers or other gifts to that person to really get them to feel comfortable that they are who they say they are. But again, as soon as they start to feel that there's some level of trust, some level of comfort, then the ask for money does happen.
And some of the stories that are out there as well are just heartbreaking. I mean, just to hear that some of these people have really dumped a lot of time, money, and energy into people that they've never met. And as you mentioned already once, Eric, I mean, look, some of the red flags include constant conversation with never actually seeing somebody. But I think that would be a telltale sign from the beginning that if they're not willing to come out and meet you, that maybe this isn't going to go anywhere. They're probably taking you for that proverbial ride. But any idea how often this takes place? I think it was interesting before you mentioned that only about 10% decide to report these things. But do we have any idea how often this takes place?
Well, I was reading online, and it showed that in 2000, it actually has increased, you know, recently. In 2015, there was a reported 21,000 to the Better Business Bureau. And then up to 2017, we're up to 28,000. And those are just ones that were reported to us. So, again, as I said, you know, we think, you know, it's just the tip of the iceberg of what's actually being reported because people are embarrassed. And I think even when it is presented to them that, indeed, this is a scam and, indeed, this is some person in Nigeria and this is not the love of your life, people have an incredibly difficult time believing that to be true because they have fallen in love by then.
Sure. You bring up it could be a person in a whole different world, essentially. If something like this happens and you realize perhaps you've sent money to somebody who's not faithful, what grounds can you take? Are there any, or is it pretty much just gone at that point?
Well, it depends. You know, oftentimes it's money that you've Western Union. You know, that can be a little tricky because once you send it, it is gone. But, you know, they do recommend that you report it. So, you know, we may not be able to get your money back, but we may be able to stop someone else from, you know, being taken advantage of. Report it to your local police department. You know, if there are some online sources like the IC3.gov site, the Federal Trade Commission, FBI, and, of course, the Better Business Bureau. We have an online scam tracker site where we help to report these kinds of situations as they come out and, you know, make people aware of that things are going on in their area.
Are there any stories that stand out in your mind that you've read? I mean, I know a lot of these probably run together, but are there any stories that stand out to you? I know one of the pieces of information you sent to us earlier in the week, it dealt with that individual that I believe he operated under a Western Nigeria in the area of Western Africa, right? I want to say he was Nigerian, and he got away with this on more than one occasion. Now, he's since been taken to court on this, if I'm not mistaken, but are there any other stories out there that come to your mind that are just gut-wrenching?
Well, I think they're all gut-wrenching, but it is most of the scammers, when they are able to be caught, for whatever reason, they are out of Nigeria. And, you know, I'm sure that there are others in other parts of the, you know, parts of the world, but, you know, they somehow understand that we can be taken advantage of, and that's why it stays on text and email, because you don't hear the accent, you don't know male or female, you don't know any of those things. You just hear the love that's pouring through the text, and people believe that. They just, you know, they so want to believe, or they need the companionship, or they need whatever they need, and they believe it to be true.
Had they been able to pinpoint this as far as to where it happens more often than not? I mean, does it happen more often on Facebook? Does it happen more often on social media? Or have they been able to pin this down to a set of dating sites?
You know, I know that it's certainly more prevalent. I don't know that they, you know, it's certainly dating sites and dating applications, Facebook, other social media sites. But whether one is more prevalent than the other, I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, and I'm sure it's probably pretty widespread. I think with
Facebook,
you know, there's a lot of personal information on Facebook. I've not done the dating site thing in many, many years, but when I did do that, I know that you were able to conceal some of that information, and it was a little bit tougher for those pursuing you to get to know more about you, and they really had to dig in order to do so, whereas Facebook, I mean, it's pretty much out there in the open. But, you know, Erica, you know, one more time for those that maybe didn't get a chance to hear it the first time around, you know, what are some steps that the victims can take if they believe they've fallen victim to this?
Should contact their local police department and let them know that this is happening. They should contact the online site ic3.gov. They should contact the Federal Trade Commission, the FBI, and certainly let the Better Business Bureau know so we can put it on our Scam Tracker site to let others know that, this is happening.
Well, Erica, we certainly appreciate the time. About 10 years ago, this is something I would have never imagined we'd have to talk about, but it has definitely come to the forefront, especially this time of the year. Erica, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Have a nice day. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. You too. Again, Erica Dilworth with Cleveland's Better Business Bureau talking about the online romance scams that are apparently on the uptick.